Good Friday morning. Doesn't it feel good to hear that? Certainly feels good to say it. Although it could be kind of interesting this weekend as we see some intriguing weather conditions come to focus. A lot to cover on the broadcast today, including a very special Faith Focus Friday. Let's jump right in and find out what's going on weather-wise. Meteorologist Ray Stajic from the Weather Channel. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Good morning, Vince.
Well, let's talk about what's going on. We've got a wide coverage area for this broadcast in the Charlotte metro area, also Greenville-Spartanburg area. Give us a picture of what we can expect this weekend.
Well, we're going to use I-85, and we'll take that as kind of the line of demarcation, which runs from Charlotte right on down through Greenville-Spartanburg. And there are winter storm watches up all along that route. Now, if you get on the west and northwest side of Interstate 85, accumulations of snowfall will get higher, especially as you get up higher from the ground, meaning elevation. So as you get down toward Greenville and Spartanburg and those counties, you get up north and you get into the mountains, the northern parts of the counties could end up with, you know, anywhere from 6 to 10 inches of snowfall, where when you get into Spartanburg and Greenville proper, maybe a slushy inch or two of accumulating snow. So it looks like with elevation as we go to the west and even a little bit to the southwest along 85, that's where you get the most significant snow. And it's going to be a heavy wet snow. And then as we get closer in toward Mecklenburg County, in and around Charlotte, as we were saying earlier, Vince, with Bo earlier today, the totals will vary from the south-southeast side of Mecklenburg County to the north and northwest side, a general maybe 1 to 6 or 7 inch spread between, let's say, Matthews on the southeast side of the county up toward Huntersville and Davidson, and even as you head further north and west of that, the totals may get a little bit higher out near Lincolnton as you get near Shelby. Some of the northwestern areas may see anywhere from 5 to maybe as much as 10 or 12 inches of snow.
My
as you get
goodness.
Closer to places near I-40.
That is a lot of snow. So when does this start?
Most of it will start coming in as rain as we head on through, believe it or not, the daytime hours tomorrow. So we're actually going to start as rain, start mixing with and changing on over to snow with elevation first, and then probably from west to east as we go through tomorrow night. And that's probably when we'll start to see most of our snow coming in. It's tomorrow night on into the daytime hours on Sunday. Now, if you're right along Interstate 85, you'll probably see more mixing. So you get periods of snow, then there'll be some sleet and freezing rain, maybe some plain old rain mixing in at times. And you're going to get out, and it's going to look messy. So it's going to be gloppy, it's going to be wet, and it may not look like the amount of snow that you'd been forecast to have because it's going to get compacted. But either way, it's going to make for treacherous travel, and it's certainly going to make for the potential for some power lines to go down, some trees to go down, especially off to the northwest where we may end up with double-digit snow totals. You know, as we mentioned some of those areas earlier, as you get into, you really stretch it out toward Burke and into places like McDowell counties, those are areas where under winter storm warnings where you might be in and around those counties closer to a foot of snowfall. But I still think even with sleet, freezing rain, and snow accumulating across the immediate area for 3 to 5 inches, we should see travel troubles and also in terms of power lines and trees down, maybe not widespread, but at least some power outages. And as we go down 85, same thing as you get in the Greenville-Spartanburg area, obviously you go north and northwest, that's where the bigger problems will be with the heavy weight of that snowfall laying down on some of those trees and power lines.
We're talking with meteorologist Ray Stajic from the Weather Channel. One of the things I'm curious about is we've had some relatively mild weather here for a while. What about the ground conditions? What does this mean for these accumulations?
Well, it's probably not going to stick initially. We've been fairly mild during the daytime hours here, and the nighttime lows haven't been all that cold. We've mainly been down into the 30s, but I think it's going to be enough that we'll see slick travel on the roadways, and we'll see it start accumulating because it's going to be precipitating at a pretty good rate. I mean, it's going to come down pretty hard for a time tomorrow night into Sunday, so that'll offset the ground temperatures, and the ground will quickly cool. Now, on the grassy surfaces, it maybe if you get your first couple of inches of snow and slush, you know, kind of gets kind of muddy and kind of mixture of snow and slush and ice. But if we do get more precip on top of that in terms of snow and sleet, you know, it'll be messy and wet, but it's certainly going to be sticking.
When does this come to an end?
We're probably going to look at the end of the precip as we get into Sunday night and early Monday, because even into Monday, we may end up with some rain and snow showers lingering, and that concludes the Monday morning commute. So we may begin this event as rain tomorrow, and there's a chance we actually end it as some rain showers on Monday. Some warmer air tries to nose in. It's the in-between that we're worried about. The worst of it's certainly going to be later Saturday night and on into Sunday.
So the thing to do, and we've already seen people making preparations with stories about stores completely running out of certain items, now is probably a good time to prepare.
Yeah, you should be wrapping it up. You start thinking about, hey, if I'm going to be inside all weekend, or you know, at least on Sunday, because I think tomorrow will be mainly wet, but if I am out and if I need to be inside, what am I going to be doing? If my power is going to go out, why not just have a plan anyway? Make sure you have batteries for the radio. Make sure you have batteries, chargers for the phones, all that good stuff, batteries for flashlights, and then just be prepared. And then, you know, stay tuned to the forecast, too. You know, forecasts change. We know that, all right? So you want to change and change what you are going to be doing and how you're going to plan along with those changes. Because if we get changes for the worst, that brings more snow further south. And if we get changes for the best, which means more rainfall, and then there may be a point where you could say, well, okay, it looks like it's just going to rain. I can kind of let my guard down a little bit. So the bottom line is the forecast now probably is going to change a little bit. If we get big fluctuations and if we get any shockers, that's what we want to look out for. We want to look out for any track in the storm a little further south, which could draw in some more colder air. You want to be prepared for that too. But I think, Vince, you're right. Be prepared now. Start prepping. Start wrapping up those preparations today and tomorrow.
Now, how long will this stick around?
If we get the snow that's forecast to accumulate, it'll probably start melting pretty quickly. We get into early next week, temperatures are going to be in the upper 30s to low 40s. Get into the sunshine on Tuesday and Wednesday, and that sunshine will do its job. So I think during the day we'll be okay. The problem is that if we do get the accumulations we are expecting, we may have to worry about refreezing for a couple of nights as the lows are going to get colder. It could dip down into the 20s, maybe even the teens on Tuesday night. So if we get wet roadways and we get slush and everything and we can't get it cleaned out and dried up, we may have problems with that to deal with early next week.
All right. Meteorologist Ray Stajic, thanks very much for your update on this, and let us know if anything changes.
Okay, Vince. Thank you.
So there you have it. Have you seen all the silly posts, by the way, kind of making fun of these weather forecasts? I saw one yesterday where it said winter storm coming somewhere between 1 and 50 inches. Yes. What we're talking about here, of course, could be quite dangerous. So on the serious side, want to make sure all of you are prepared. And as Ray Stajic was saying, the sooner the better, because you know what's going to happen as we get closer. And I think what a lot of people do is a lot of people wait, and then they see the first snowfall start to come down.
Uh-oh.
It's like, look out. Don't do that. That's not going to be smart. Make your preparations as soon as possible, and just prepare to stay home. Get some things for the kids, movies, food, popcorn, whatever it is.
Hey, Vince. Do you want to build a snowman?
A snowman. Do you think we'll have enough snow for a snowman?
I think so.
We'll talk about it. Okay. We'll see. Maybe we can do that.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll post some pictures or video up on Facebook, too. I want to get your thoughts. I'd love to hear what's going on with you, what preparations you're making, or if you even take this seriously. Do you think it's going to happen, or do you think this is another one of those things that's just going to fizzle out where the hype ends up being greater than the reality? We'll talk about that and delve into some economic news, much more, as we continue our Friday broadcast. Back at the Vince Coakley radio program on this Friday, we've talked about the winter storm that is headed this way. It looks like the worst of it is the further north you go. Now, this is not to say those of you in the upstate should rest easy and think that you don't have anything to be concerned about. So some preparations are probably in order, and the sooner the better. We'd love to hear your thoughts on what you are doing in the meantime. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line number, 800-928-1110. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. Before we go to our first call, I want to give you a heads up as well. I want to encourage you to listen to Faith Focus Friday coming up next hour. I mentioned to you earlier this week, where I was last week, was at a ministry conference called For My Life. It's by a ministry called Be in Health in Thomaston, Georgia. Now, I also want to emphasize, this is not an endorsement of everything this ministry communicates and everything the guest in the next hour communicates, but the gist of it and the ideas related to healing and wholeness and all of that being related in spiritual roots, yes, I absolutely embrace, and I want to encourage you to listen very intently coming up in the next hour and tell your friends, especially if you're familiar with people with chronic conditions, they may need to take a close look at some spiritual foundations. So we will have that coming up in the next hour. Let's go out to a call first from Doug. Good morning.
Morning, Vince. I trust you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, every time we have a weather phenomenon like this coming through, I always call and tell you I'm doing absolutely nothing to prepare because I'm already prepared.
That's right. I remember you.
But there are some things. Oh, by the way, I did not set the turkey on fire for Thanksgiving this year.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. Proud of you.
But a few things I'd like to just to recommend for the listeners to keep all the time is propane. Because if you have a gas grill, you can always use that to cook on outside, and you can also use it to power a gas light or a small gas heater. So that's always good to have, whether it's summer or winter, because you can always use that propane to cook and to heat if need be. Another thing to always keep are batteries. Now, a lot of people make the mistake, they put their batteries in a drawer, and they will go dead a lot faster. If you keep them in the refrigerator...
Refrigerator, yes.
They will last much, much longer. I've had them last over 10 years.
Wow.
So that's an excellent way to keep them. And as far as food goes, canned goods are okay, but you're wanting stuff that's more freeze-dried, like Lipton noodles and things like that, that can be heated up with just a very little bit of water, and they won't go bad. That's stuff you can keep for years, and you can rotate it when you need to. And another thing to keep in mind are military MREs. They're actually pretty good, and you don't need anything to heat them except a little bit of water that goes into the heating packet. It makes an isothermal reaction, and it heats the food with absolutely no heat required. So it's good to keep some of those also for long-term use.
Well, that sounds excellent. I very much appreciate your call there, Doug, and what you've communicated is something that is kind of evergreen in the sense that, you know, based on what you have done, you're prepared all the time, and you don't have to rush out all the time and get stuff. You've got it, which isn't a bad way to plan. Over on the text line, Snowmageddon has begun. Also this, pant, pant, pants, hyperventilate. Give me the smelling salts. Oh, my goodness. It's going to snow. So if you go shopping once a week and consume 2 loaves of bread at the grocery store aisles, standing around blathering, go home. Also, this 1 gallon of milk each week. What is it about snow that makes you want to consume more milk and bread? Dumb tradition. An excuse for shut-ins to clog up the grocery store aisles. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. Also this, wait, aren't snowmen, John was saying, let's go out and build a snowman. Wait, aren't snowmen racist or symbols of white privilege or misogyny or something? Someone would probably find that in there somewhere. Also, as a transplant here in South Carolina, I find the panic coming over the South when it comes to winter very comical. I'm with you. I think one of the problems, one of the major differences between the North and the South, you know, I grew up most of my early years in Indianapolis, and we had real snowfall. I mean, real snowfall, like what is predicted in some areas, and it stayed. I mean, if we got this kind of snow that's predicted for this weekend, several inches, and we might get a couple of feet, it stays. It stayed the whole winter and did not melt until the spring thaw. And we went to school every day. Buses drove right through it. Of course, we also had many more trucks to go out and clear the roads. But I remember some harrowing rides, you know, especially, you know, Sunday mornings going to church. We lived in the northwest part of Indianapolis, and we would go to, I guess, the central part of the city, toward the central part of the city to go to church. And I remember this one hill. It just scared the daylights out of me going down that hill. You know, this, but life went on. Things didn't shut down the way things shut down in the South. Also on the text line, I'm doing all my laundry, so if I lose power, I can just jump in the pond and have clean clothes. Then I need to go buy some ramen and dog food. Someone else saying here, Jim Cantore is in Charlotte. Get the heck out of here. Hopefully he has nothing to see. But we shall see. Someone else calling us a bunch of snow weenies. Alrighty. Just got back from Mass for Thanksgiving. There was 6 inches in the ground already. We'll be there until March. My goodness. They've already got snow on the ground, and it's going to, yeah, this is what I was talking about, which is why I would not want to live up there in the Massachusetts area in the Northeast. I mean, any further north than I already was. That's crazy. Someone else saying it is sleeting in Chester right now. Will texting in to say that. So be prepared for anything and everything. Willie, good morning.
Hello, Uncle Vince. I want to say hello to Kaylee. She's taking over Charles this morning.
Yes.
Sounds lovely. Tell her that I say hello to her. Anyway, listen, I'm ready for the storm. I got my rosary and my wine and some candles. Rosary, can you bring me some wine, please?
Oh, my goodness.
We're just having a great old time, and I recommend everybody else who's single, you're married, do the same thing. I love you, Vince. Have a nice day. Adios.
You as well. Be careful out there. Crazy Willie. Leave it to him. Leave it to him. Also on the, oh no, this is terrible. Should I tell this joke? Okay. What's the difference between snowmen and snow women?
I don't know.
I will give the answer here shortly. Never understood why people buy milk, eggs, and bread before a snowstorm. What are they making? French toast? Another person saying it's not that serious. Bunch of southern snowflakes. Another person asking me, do you remember the blizzard of 78? I most certainly do. In fact, that was the last winter I was in Indianapolis. That was horrendous. And the other thing is, I used to shovel the snow. And I remember I always had a goal to get the driveway cleared out before my dad got home. He never told me to do that. I just did it. I enjoyed shoveling. I'd probably fall over dead if I tried to do that now. But I enjoyed clearing that out. It was a fun challenge to get that done, and dad comes in and driveway's clear. It's pretty cool stuff here. Another person saying, we get excited to see snow down here. Sleet! Rob out of Taylor says, we shall rebuild. Too funny. I'll answer that question about the difference between men and women, snow men and women, coming up. Back of the Vince Coakley radio program on the text line. Daniel out of Greenville would like to know, Vince, it's sleeting. Why can't we get out of work? Yeah, try that one. And on the question of why people are buying milk and bread, duh, milk, cereal for breakfast, bread, sandwiches, no cooking. All right. Another person asking, Vince, what item did the caller say would last 10 years in the fridge? Marijuana? Really? How did we get to that? He was referring to batteries. Preserving batteries by keeping them in the fridge. And the answer to the question, what's the difference between snowmen and snow women? Snowballs. Let's go out to Tony. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, how are you this morning?
All right, sir.
All right. I'm a bread man. I've been a bread man for almost 30 years. And I'm going to tell you why people buy bread and milk when they go. I have a snowstorm coming up. It's not the fact that they need milk and bread. It's just that everybody goes to the store, and sometimes they get different items. But, you know, if they go to the store and don't have some kind of event coming up, they just, well, I can wait on milk and I can wait on bread. But it's just that every single body that goes to the store to get this and that, they're going to buy a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. And that's just nothing that's spectacular about it.
All right. It sounds simple enough there, Tony. Very much appreciate your call. Let's talk about some good news, by the way. This story. I could not have imagined this 5-10 years ago. What's one of the stories related to energy that we've always talked about? The dependence the United States of America has always had on the cartel as an OPEC. You know, they've really had us literally over a barrel for a long time. But no more. Get a load of this. Bloomberg reporting the U.S. just became a net oil exporter for the first time in 75 years. 75 years. 75 years of continued dependence on foreign oil, and this is a pivotal, even if it's brief, moment toward energy independence. What's going on here? Well, the shift to net exports, the dramatic result of an unprecedented boom in American oil production, with thousands of wells pumping from one region in Texas and New Mexico, also in North Dakota and Pennsylvania. The country's been heading in that direction for years. Data showing a sharp drop in imports and a jump in exports to a record high. Given the volatility in weekly data, the U.S. will likely remain a small net importer most of the time. Michael Lynch, president of Strategic Energy and Economic Research, says we are becoming the dominant energy power in the world. Doesn't that sound good? But because the change is gradual over time, I don't think it's going to cause a huge revolution. But you do have to think OPEC is going to have to take that into account when they think about cutting, which they're looking to do right now. You see what's happening to oil prices? The prices at the pump going below $2 in some places? That's a big deal. The shale revolution. It's transformed oil wildcatters into billionaires and the U.S. into the world's largest petroleum producer, surpassing Russia and Saudi Arabia. When did you think that was going to happen? Russia, maybe, but Saudi Arabia, they've always been thought of as the oil powerhouse. The power of OPEC has been diminished, undercutting one of the major geopolitical forces of the last half century. And this needed to happen. I think all of us would agree with that. Unless you're one of these crazy people who believes in the internationalism of, oh, there's got to be a balance so that we have a healthy interdependence. Yes. And that's the way some people think.
Drill, baby, drill.
Yes, exactly. And it just doesn't make a lot of sense to stay in that place of dependence. So this is really good news. Some mixed news on another economic front. Job growth. Non-farm payrolls increased by 155,000 in November. The disappointment is the hope was that figure would be 198,000. Hourly earnings gaining 0.2%. Fell short of estimates for a 0.3% increase. October's job, the job count, revised lower, initially reported as 250,000. It's actually 237,000. And what's going on here? You're starting to hear this as a theme. Just giving you a heads up. Fears that economic growth is losing steam. So I've said this before. We've got to be cognizant of the fact that we go through economic cycles and we could be about ready to go into another one of those downward cycles. How far down it goes, we don't know. But again, they are not respective of presidents or Congress. They just happen. Now, I think there are things that we can do in terms of policy that can make these better or worse. So it'll be interesting to see how this is managed. So we'll stay with this and continue to follow developments on the economic front, as well as Wall Street. We've had a stretch of several really, really bad days. Back locally, a story in the upstate that's really heartbreaking. You know, it's sad when you see people who lose their lives in traffic accidents, but it's especially sad this time of year. This one happened in Taylor's, South Carolina. three juveniles killed in a crash that happened this morning in Greenville County. 12:30 in the morning on Highway 253 in Taylor's. 27-year-old driving a 2004 Pontiac on Highway 253 when the van went off the right side of the road and hit several trees. Four juveniles in the vehicle, three died at the scene, one taken to the hospital. The driver, in fact, was not wearing a seatbelt and was taken to the hospital. One of the juveniles was restrained. Investigators not sure if the others were or not. Again, certainly time to pray for and provide whatever comfort is possible for the families that have lost three juveniles in a crash. And I would just encourage you again, in light of the weather that we expect here over the weekend, please be careful. And if you don't need to travel, as these conditions start to worsen, don't travel. Just stay in, relax, prop up your feet, watch a movie, listen to nonstop podcasts of this program. There you go. Something safe. Absolutely important. Much more as we continue our Friday broadcast again. Just a few minutes from now, we'll have Faith Focus Friday. Straight ahead, more of the day's news and a look at the day in history. Back on the broadcast on the text line, talking about storm conditions coming this way, winter storm. Let us see what we have here for starters that is arable. Nobody ever plans to fail. They only fail to plan. That is a problem, isn't it? Alan of Greer, Mom always said to keep 3 to 5 days worth of food in the house just for snowstorms. On an unrelated subject, Vince, why does Donald Trump keep putting in these Bush acolytes? Don't ask me. Remember, he was going to always put in the best people. And what else do we have here? We have storm coming with potentially dangerous driving conditions and serious accidents, and you're making jokes about it. You better take hosting the Oscars off your bucket list. Uh-huh. Another person on oil, my backyard is a gold mine. Right in the upstate. Let's start pumping. On the possibility of an economic downturn, this texter is blaming anti-Trumpers. Of course, everything's about Donald Trump, isn't it? Governor Cooper just had a storm-related announcement on PBS. Yeah, I'm sure. Good morning, Vince. Please add, stay off your phones when driving. Put your phones down, people. And don't do like the person did, as I was describing a few days ago. Don't watch Netflix on your tablet. Sometimes you really got to wonder. On the economic issue, Vince, people with money can see the handwriting on the wall. With Democrats winning power, they bring higher taxes, more regulations, plus more Russia, Russia, Russia. This causes sell-offs at Wall Street. Hang on, it will get worse. That is John out of Cowpens. So, just a sampling of some of the items that are on our text line. Right now, let's take a look at the day in history. And we have a number of interesting items, including a little bit of a newsreel. Let's start in 1787 here in studio. And we have this first question. A former state where I used to live became the first state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. What was that state?
Was that Rhode Island?
Oh, no. I can't believe you didn't get that one. It's Delaware. Delaware. 1963, an unusual artist hit the top of the chart with a song called Dominique. Stayed at the top of the chart for 4 weeks, blocking Louie Louie from ever hitting number one.
Oh.
What a shame. So what kind of a person would get a number one hit that would be so unusual, 1963? Well, I'll give you a hint. You had a show that had a flying version of this. How about a musical version? I gave you a big hint.
A car? No. I don't know.
Come on, surely you're old enough to remember the Flying Nun.
Nun, oh!
So we have the Singing Nun.
Okay.
Performed Dominique Went to number one for 4 weeks.
Sally Field, yeah.
I'd never heard of this thing. Really hadn't. Apollo 17 lifted off in 1972. A man's mission to where?
The moon?
The moon is correct. And last but not least, 1988. This Palestinian leader recognized Israel's right to exist. Who was it in 1988?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I couldn't resist. Yes, exactly. And we will all remember what happened on this particular date. In 1941, if you were listening to your radio, it may have sounded just like this.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu. We take you now to Washington.
The details are not available. They will be in a few minutes. The White House is now giving out a statement. The attack apparently was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu. The president's brief statement was read to reporters by Stephen Early, the president's secretary. A Japanese attack upon Pearl Harbor naturally would mean war. Such an attack would naturally bring a counterattack, and hostilities of this kind would naturally mean that the president would ask Congress for a declaration of war. There is no doubt from the temper of Congress that such a declaration would be granted. This morning, Secretary Hull talked with the secretaries of war and of the Navy. Now the two special Japanese envoys, Admiral Nomura and Special Envoy Kurusu, are at the State Department, engaged in conference with Secretary of State Hull. Their appearance at the State Department on this Sunday afternoon emphasizes the gravity of the Far Eastern situation, where hostilities now seem to be actually opening over the whole South Pacific. And just now comes the word from the president's office that a second air attack has been reported on Army and Navy bases in Manila. Thus, we have official announcements from the White House that Japanese airplanes have attacked Pearl Harbor in Hawaii and have now attacked Army and Navy bases in Manila. We return you now to New York and we'll give you later information as it comes along from the White House.
Wow. Doesn't just feel like you were there listening to that when it first happened? And as he did mention, the very next day, FDR made that declaration of war, asked for the declaration of war, and history would unfold. Faith Focus Friday is next.